Today, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Luke, chapter 22, as we talk about God wants to restore you. It's always God's plan is to restore, renew, to help people come out of whatever they're going through and restore them. Amen. How many people have been restored to a right relationship with God when they have backslidden or turned away or left God out of their lives or drifted from God? Don't need to keep drifting because He wants to restore. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Peter, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. Verse 54, same chapter. And having arrested him, Jesus, they led him and brought him unto the high priest, but Peter followed at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard, they sat down and sat down together. Peter sat among them, and a servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, This man was also with him. But he denied him, or Peter denied him, saying, Woman, I do not know him. After a while, another saw him and said, You are also one of them. But Peter said, Man, I am not. Verse 59, Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, Surely this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Just a note here, the Galileans had a accent that identified them as from that part of the world. Verse 60, But Peter said, Man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your presence this morning. We're so blessed that you would meet with us, that you would condescend to humanity, that you would care for us, but you do. And I thank you, Lord, that you do. I pray your blessings on the ministry of the Word of God today. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. My pastor told me of a story, and it was a true story. And he said he was with a man at a revival. And at the end of the sermon, the minister, the evangelist, gave an altar call. Said, if you need Jesus, feel free to get up and come to the Lord. If you feel something pulling in your heart to go and repent and get right with God, then this is your time. And the man that was standing by him said, When I was younger, I felt that pull on my heart many times, but I just wouldn't go. And he said, That's called I've committed the unpardonable sin. But he said, If I could just feel that pull one more time, I'd get up and run to that altar. And immediately, God dealt with that man and convicted him and pulled at him one more time, and he ran to the altar and gave his heart to Jesus. Because you see, God's will is to restore and renew people. Praise the Lord. And we read about a man who definitely needed to be restored, Peter, one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. And so Jesus predicts Peter's denial. And of course, Peter's reaction, Oh Lord, nothing in heaven and earth could make me reject you or deny you. But this disciple, Peter, had been with Jesus for 3 years. He had seen miracles. He had listened to the words of Jesus. He had experienced power that only few people dreamed of seeing and experiencing. And he was assured of the deity of Christ. He believed that this was Jesus, the Son of God. Emmanuel, God with us. He believed that. And he says that, Lord, nothing in life or death could cause me to deny you. In verse 33 it says, but he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And that was a strong statement by Peter. But you see, God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our strength. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our humanity. And he knows the power of the sin nature that continually pulls at the heart of the believer to go back to sin. And so God knows that. And Peter could never escape or never have the power to overcome this without God's Holy Spirit giving him the power to do so. And Jesus here had told Satan, or told Peter, said, Satan wants to destroy you. Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. In other words, that he may little by little just deceive you and take you out till eventually you're not following Jesus anymore. He's done that to so many people. And so the devil is a liar. But Satan wanted him. He's asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. He's probably talking to Jesus here, and he says, this disciple of yours, he's going to even know, deny who you are. Jesus knew that he would. But he said, I tell you, Peter, Satan is desire, he's asked for you. He's wanting to sift you as wheat. He, little by little, he's wanting to pull you out of the kingdom. And Peter says, oh no, Lord, nothing between life and death would cause me to deny you. So Jesus told Peter that Satan wanted to destroy him, to stop the spread of the gospel. And this no doubt was a work of the enemy to destroy Peter before he could preach the great message on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. And when we read about Peter in Acts chapter 2, we find a changed man, a restored man, who was able to preach a powerful message where that several thousand people were saved. And so this was an attempt of Satan to destroy the spread of the gospel. He still does that today. He wants to destroy the spread of the gospel. And the enemy of your soul wants to destroy your testimony. And to make you feel like you failed one too many times, he can never restore you. You've done this same sin 3 times, 5 times, 100 times, and God's not going to forgive this time. You went past the limit. And the devil has lied to you time and time again and said, you can't be restored. You can't go back now. You've messed up one too many times. But I'm here to tell you today, God wants to restore you. God hadn't run out of forgiveness. He hadn't run out of mercy. The Bible says his mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. So we find here that Jesus prays for Peter. Verse 31 says, 32, he says, I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail. And when you're strengthened, when you return to me, strengthen your brethren. He said, you're going to fall, Peter, but you're going to return. And I'm going to use you to strengthen your brothers. That's only God can do that. From a total turnaround and denial to a complete restoration is what would be experienced here. So let's look into Peter, what happened here. And so Jesus was arrested and he stood before the high council and they accused him of many things which they could not prove. But it says here in verse 54, it says, Peter followed Jesus at a distance. And we can see a fear beginning to creep in here to Peter. Said, I've just told Jesus I wouldn't deny him. Nothing between heaven and earth would cause me to deny him. But he said, I'm feeling a little fear come on right now because he's going before these people. And I know that Jesus has told us before that he would be crucified. And you know, they might take it out on me as well since I'm a follower of Jesus. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him to the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. He said, something could happen to me, so I don't want to get too close. So we see Peter's faith begin to drain a little bit. For some reason, he didn't feel strong anymore. He didn't feel like telling Jesus, there's nothing in the world that caused me to deny you. He didn't feel like he was powerful and above all things as he did earlier. But the difference was that Jesus had already prayed for him. He said, Peter, I pray for you that your faith may not fail. And so we come to the servant girl in verses 56 and 57. A certain girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him, said, this man was also with him. He was saying this man was one of Jesus' disciples too. And we find Peter's first denial here. In verse 57, he denied him saying, woman, I do not know him. Now this was the Jesus that had traveled and brought Peter along for 3 years of ministry. He had seen all kinds of miracles and signs and wonders. There's no doubt, he couldn't doubt that this was the Son of God. But now when he's put under pressure, he says, I don't know him. How could he say this? He didn't know Jesus. But you see, many times we're under pressure and many times we do things we wouldn't do otherwise. In order to stand for this Jesus that we serve, I want to tell you something, friend. You need God's power. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to stand behind you and to help you and to give you grace and strength because you're not strong enough in yourself. You need God's power. Okay? And so that was Peter's first denial. And you know, we want to think that we're strong enough to do anything, you know. I'm a man, I can take care of this. Or I'm a woman of God, I pray enough that nobody can overcome me. I'm just strong. No. Without God, you're weak. Without God, I'm weak. And Paul said to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, he said, lest I be should exalted above measure in the abundance of revelations that I've had, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. That's what it says. And so Paul wasn't feeling so strong at the moment. And he said, I've had great revelations of God. I've even ascended to the third heaven. I've been there. I've seen all this stuff. And yet, you know, I'm a strong guy. But Paul realized that in that he might fall prey to the sin of pride, since I've seen abundance of revelations. And God spoke to him and he said, Paul, and you can put your name here, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Where we're weak, God is not weak. Where you're not strong, God is strong. Where you're sort of strong but not strong enough, God is strong enough. And he spoke worlds into existence. I can assure you, he can help you everything, everywhere you go and whatever you face. He's been where you are. He's lived in humanity. We studied in the scriptures this morning that Jesus, the Word, Christ was made flesh, became flesh, and dwelt among us. He's been in humanity. He knows the struggles you face. He knows he's acquainted with every temptation. He never yielded to one, but he's acquainted with every temptation, everything that comes to mankind. You've not faced anything that Jesus hadn't faced. And you're not going to face anything that God didn't have the power or give or the grace to give you strength to overcome it and to be victorious. Amen. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He was saying, I can't do this by myself, but God, I know your grace is sufficient.
and your grace is there to help me. Amen. And whatever comes upon me, the power of Christ rests upon me. I'm not doing this in myself. I'm asking for your help, God. You may remember that. You shouldn't have memorized that. 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Praise the Lord. And so that was Peter's first denial. And then it comes along, Peter's second denial is in verse 58. And after a while, another saw him and said, you also are one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. Basically denying that he was a follower of Jesus. Meaning, Peter, you're a follower of Jesus. We saw you. We can tell that you're one of them. You kind of look like they do. You kind of look like that bunch that follows Jesus. That's not a scripture. But his answer was, man, I am not. So he denied Jesus twice. You think that would be enough? But there was a third denial. Verse 59. Then after about an hour and passed on, another confidently affirmed, saying, "This surely this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean." Well, the gospel says that his speech betrayed him because his accent was Galilean. Okay? But Peter answered again. This is his third denial. He says, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." And immediately, while he was still speaking, as Jesus prophesied, the rooster crowed. You say, well, what does that mean? That means God can use anything. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Can you imagine that? Turned and looked at him. He didn't say, I told you so, but he might as well have. You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And remorse and regret always follow disobedience. The Bible says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. I know he was blaming himself. Said, how could I, after I walked 3 years with the Son of God, how could I deny him three times? How could this happen to me? I'm one of his 12 disciples. I'm a guy that's on fire for God. I'm up here. I'm up here one of the 12, you know. I'm not just anybody. How could I possibly deny my Lord? But he did. And he began to experience regret. Could God restore such a one as Peter, who had denied him three times, even denied that he knew him? Yes. And he went out and wept bitterly. I'm sure the conviction of the Holy Spirit began to grip his heart and say, what have you done? Because you see, it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit was there. And we need the Holy Spirit to convict us. And that's what the Holy Spirit has come to do, to convict of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Not because God wants to make us feel bad about everything, but because God cares and God loves us and God wants us to be restored, renewed to fellowship with Him if we've fallen away. So remorse and regret always followed disobedience. Peter knew what he had done. He had denied the Son of God. What conviction must have gripped his heart? Sorrow and regret. Was there hope after this? Was there any hope now? He wept bitterly. He cried his eyes out, no doubt. Said, God, surely I've gone too far. Surely I've run the course. I've had greater revelation than most people in the world will ever have. But surely, Lord, this is it for me. I'm done. You're through with me, and I can't live for you favorably anymore. And he probably thought he'd gone too far to be restored. And church, we should be glad for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the goodness of God leads us to repentance. God is good, and God convicts, and God says, I'm not through with you. I don't want to be loose from you. I don't want you to go out from me. I don't want you to backslide. I don't want you to turn away. I saved you to stay with me. and the goodness of God. And God is good. He's the only one good. Good, God is good. And the goodness of God leads us to repentance. God's good enough that He convicts you of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. God is good enough that He wants you back. God is good enough that He wants to forgive you. God is good enough that He wants to restore you. God is good enough that He wants you to spend eternity in His holy heaven. So Peter had gone too far, he knew. In Romans 2 and 4 says, "Do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering?" Has God been long-suffering with you? You don't have to answer, I know. He has been with me. The riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. The goodness of God leads people to repentance. 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says, "Godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation." Amen. You say, "Well, I don't want to be sorry." You should be sorry for your sin. And if there's true repentance, there's going to be restoration. You're going to be sorry for your sin. And no doubt, Peter here was sorry for his sin. I'm sure he was drowning in a sea of guilt at the time. But godly sorrow is a good sorrow. It produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But it has the other side of that. The sorrow of the world produces death. If a person is not sorry for their sin, then there can be no true repentance there. But if they're sorry, "God, I've failed, I've done the wrong thing, I come to You, would You please forgive me?" He will. He will honor His word. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to tell you something, friend. God's here to restore. God's here to restore people. He restores people every day. He will restore you. He's not done with you. He loves you. So the restoration of Peter, let's look at it for just a moment. I have to move on over a book or so. To John chapter 21. And Peter said in one place, he said, "You know, I've been through too much. I'm going fishing." He's not the only one that's ever said that. As if fishing is going to solve anything. Amen. May give you something to eat if you're a good fisherman. I could tell jokes on fishing. There's Lake Fork is just, you know, there's a lot of fishing lies that have come through Lake Fork. I know you're wanting me to say one. No, I'm not. Norma's saying no. Okay. But let's look at the restoration of Peter here. The question of love. John 21:1 or 21:15. Jesus talks to Peter here. This is after all that's gone on. Actually, after the resurrection. Jesus meets them personally because there's many proofs of the resurrection of Christ. Over 500 brethren saw Jesus at one time. And He appeared to various places, various people at various times. And so we know that Jesus is alive. There's many, many evidences of the resurrection of Christ, that He lives again. Every one of you that are born again of God's Spirit, you're a miracle of God's resurrection. You're a testimony of His life. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus tells Peter, and Peter, you know, he knew what fishing was. It's what he did for a living. He didn't do it because he saw the last bass thing on TV advertising the greatest lure. You can't do that because they know you'll buy it. But he said, "Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than fishing for a living? Do you love me more than what you're doing right now? Do you love me more hoping you'll catch a great catch and sell it and make a lot of money?" Because that's what they did for a living. They fished and sold their fish. That's the way they made their living. At least they worked. "Do you love me more than these?" Maybe he was saying to Peter, "Do you love me more than going back to your old life? Because
After being with Jesus, how could he possibly go back to doing something else when Jesus had called him to be one of his disciples, one of his followers, one of his ministers? So Peter was fully restored here, and on the day of Pentecost, he was one of the 120 that was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was so filled with the Holy Spirit, he would never again ever consider going back to his old life. He would never say again, Jesus, I've been with you and I appreciate what you've done, but I'm going to go fishing. So he was not going to return to his old life. It wasn't wrong. It's not a sin to go fishing. Amen. Just, they don't buy it very good on Sunday. Remember that. Okay. So Peter here was fully restored, filled with the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, he spoke and said, as God poured out His Spirit upon the people and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, Peter said, these are not drunken as you suppose, since it's the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days that I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters, your manservants, your men servants, your maidservants. And so it's for all people. He was saying, Peter, how much do you really love God? Do you love me more than these? He asked him three times. He denied Jesus three times. Three times Jesus asked him, Simon, do you love me? And Peter was offended. He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Feed my lambs. The third time he says, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter's saying, Lord, I've answered you twice. I've answered that question twice. Didn't you get it the first time? No, that's not scripture. But Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And so he's telling Peter, the call has not left you. Yeah, you've been tempted. Yeah, you denied me three times. But I'm restoring you, Peter. I'm restoring you to a believer and a follower of Jesus, to a follower of me. And I want you to go, and from now on, you're not going to fish for fish. You're going to fish for men. And God's going to help you with a great harvest. Praise the Lord. And so, to love God with all that we have and all that we are is the greatest commandment. Jesus said in his question, what is the greatest commandment? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Everything that's in us, not, there can't be, God, I love you when things go well, or God, I love you every now and then. I love you when it's religious. I love you when somebody's around, they don't want to hear anything different. No, I love you, Lord, forever. With everything that I have within me, with my heart, with my soul, my mind, I'm yours, Lord. Peter was restored. And one day, as true believers, we will leave this world behind and lose everything this carnal world has offered. We will lose everything here to gain what we cannot lose. And what we cannot lose is eternal life and eternal love and eternal hope and eternal presence of God. If you follow Jesus, if you don't turn away, but if you turn to Him and say, God, I want to be restored, and God will restore, God will renew you. And God does not want to cast you away. He wants to restore you. Praise the Lord.